live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of November, 2025. I am so thrilled to have a returning guest on the program. I so enjoyed my first interview with him recently that I knew I wanted to have him back immediately. His name is Dr. David A. Harrell. He's an author, and he is senior pastor and teacher at Calvary Bible Church of Joelton, Tennessee. Today we're going to be addressing another one of his books, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity, Pursuing Christlikeness in Times of Mounting Hostility and Apathy. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. David A. Harrell.
Thank you. It's my joy and my privilege to be here.
If you could, let our listeners know something about Calvary Bible Church of Joelton, Tennessee.
Yes, Calvary Bible Church is an independent Bible church. We have been in existence since about 1993. I've been the pastor there for about 30 years now. And Joelton is actually a suburb of Nashville, Tennessee, kind of a rural suburb. And our church is one that really holds to a robust Reformed soteriology. And it's just exciting to see what God continues to do there. It's a little bit different maybe than a lot of churches. We're what you would call a commuter church rather than a community church, because so many of our people come from pretty great distances to come to the church. And in order to maintain the fellowship and so forth, we have regional home fellowship groups that meet in various areas. And it's been kind of funny. We've had probably 20 new families in the last couple of years that have come from California in particular, and other liberal states. And so we just continue to see God blessing, and we rejoice in all that he's doing for us.
Well, if anybody lives in the area of Joelton, Tennessee, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you're passing through that area, please look them up at cbctn.org, and that stands for Calvary Bible Church, Tennessee, cbctn.org, and God willing, we will be repeating that information later on in the program. And you said you're near Nashville, correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
our church is probably about 20 minutes from downtown Nashville.
I've been in that area, and I have friends pastoring in that area. Probably I know of at least five pastors not far from you, so I've got to make sure I introduce you to them by email to perhaps even get the ball rolling for you all to meet in person.
That would be great.
Well, you have written a very provocative book, which I think is a very necessary book. And this book is taking an approach that I think very rarely would you ever hear a conservative utter the words, America hates biblical Christianity. Perhaps it's because they fear political repercussion or what have you. But what were the compelling factors that led you to put pen to paper or fingers to keypad and start writing this book?
Well, certainly it would be a combination of things, but certainly the mounting hostility that we see towards biblical Christianity, not so much Christianity in general, because so much of Christianity is not biblical. And that's why I use the phrase biblical to describe true,
right,
genuine, authentic Christianity, in contrast to the many counterfeit forms of Christianity that have plagued the world since the birth of the church at Pentecost. And so anyway, I can just see more and more how America is now a post-Christian nation, even though many people who profess to be Christians really agree with many of the ungodly things that our culture holds dear. They embrace the beliefs of, for example, of postmodernism, where people no longer believe in absolute or moral truth. And instead, they're very skeptical of beliefs. They're subjective in their values and so forth. And you just see churches that will believe all viewpoints, no matter how absurd and how contradictory. All of them must be considered equally valid, unless, of course, they derive their authority from Scripture. And so I've just seen this develop over time. I've seen people that, even pastors who embrace some of the most wicked forms of ungodliness in our culture, and a lot of the sinister things that are going on. And so I thought, I'm going to express what I believe is a biblical response to this as kind of a warning. And really, I think at a most fundamental level, we see human depravity and satanic deception working hand in hand through secular government and false religion. And these are kind of twin fiends, if you will, that are always united against the gospel of God, against the people of God. And so the purpose of this book is really twofold. I want to demonstrate the interplay between human depravity and satanic deception, and do that from a biblical perspective, to show how these things manifest themselves in culture, especially in the ideologies of the political left and the liberalism of many who claim to be Christians. But, you know, secondly, I just want to encourage authentic Christians to become more like Christ and to examine the great doctrinal truths of the Word and to hold fast to them. And I guess I could say contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Amen. And by the way, I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you have a question for David A. Harrell on why America hates biblical Christianity. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Yeah, the reason I even highlighted conservatives in the beginning of the program when introducing you, that very few conservatives would publicly admit that America hates biblical Christianity, is because it's a no-brainer that the left is at great odds with biblical Christianity. They are manifesting the more overtly grotesque behavior and belief systems of Satan in this world, where it's oftentimes a more concealed approach that conservatives who do not know the Lord take, and who, although may stand with us on many issues regarding biblical morality and ethics. They only want to go so far, and they actually, many of them, view we who are biblical Christians, they view us as getting in the way of their political victories. They depend upon our votes if they're political candidates.
Right.
But they, to give you an example, during the last presidential election and the last election cycle in general, there were prominent Republicans or conservatives in the media chastising evangelical Christians who were opposed to abortion for all reasons, considering it murder for any reason. And Sean Hannity is one figure that pops into my mind immediately, who was trying to derail the political races of Republicans in the primaries who had that view against abortion for all reasons. And he was really pushing for people to vote for those that had a more mild approach to the murder of unborn children. And I believe it had some kind of influence on President Trump, because he changed his tune toward the left in this area of abortion. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just some of the talking heads like a Sean Hannity, who I believe is Roman Catholic. But it's prominent evangelical leaders, which is absolutely staggering to me. And I just believe that we have to make a stand and be reminded of, frankly, what Jesus warned in Matthew 7, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And so there is a warning all throughout Scripture of those that are true believers and those that aren't. And as soon as you see people embracing things that God would consider an abomination, then you have to ask the question, on what basis can these people really claim genuine saving faith? Because in regeneration, a person is radically transformed. That's the miracle of regeneration. There's this supernatural instantaneous impartation of spiritual life to the spiritually dead. We become new creatures in Christ. The old things pass away, the new things come. And my, when you look at the clear teaching of Scripture as a truly born-again believer, those things not only resonate in your heart, they bring joy to your heart, and you're going to defend them with all your might. And so therein is the real problem with Christianity versus genuine Christianity. And that's much of the motivation for writing this book.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you would agree that it is more appropriate to call most of what goes under the name of Christianity as Christendom rather than genuine, Bible-believing, regenerate Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many professing Christians that really do not hold to some of the most fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. In fact, I would argue that most of what is claimed to be the gospel is a distortion of the true gospel. And you hear so many people, just like right now, you have the whole movement with the Charlie Kirk, what is it, Turning Point USA?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, people are talking about a great revival and all of these types of things. I'm very skeptical of that. It's not to say that the Lord isn't working and that perhaps people are coming to faith in Christ. But you know, if that's really true, then you are going to see people embrace that which is true in Scripture. For example, if this is a true revival and the true gospel is being preached that begins with the offended holiness of God, then you're going to see two-thirds of the staff at Turning Point USA that belong to the cult called Mormonism. You will see them genuinely repent and come to faith in Christ.
Two-thirds are Mormons?
That's what I've been told.
Wow.
That's what I've been told, that two-thirds of the staff are Mormons.
Wow.
And I've heard the testimony of some that really give a very clear gospel presentation. And then others, it's kind of a bit of, hey, Jesus loves you and he wants to help you out. And he wants us all to really get back to living lives that are Christian in nature. And you get a whole lot of MAGA involved with all of that. And you just very seldom hear a gospel that begins with a clear presentation of what sin is, and that the wrath of God is abiding upon those who have never trusted in Christ as Savior. And so it tends to be much more about the love of God and you want to kind of downplay the wrath of God. And when the good news is not all that great, it's not really the gospel. And for a lot of people, it's not the good news of salvation from sin. It's the salvation from unhappiness and poor self-esteem and all of those types of things. So, anyway, that's a lot of my concern with what I see in Christendom today.
And, can you go through some of the other areas? We've already mentioned abortion, which is just one, the murder of unborn children, how America has obviously, in its majority, either welcomed enthusiastically the so-called freedom to murder unborn children, or where you would get into the more conservative realm of individuals, professing Christians, perhaps nominal, where they would tolerate much more of it than they should. What are some of the other areas specifically that reveal to you that America hates biblical Christianity?
Well, I would use the whole woke agenda, especially the sexual revolution that we see in our country, the embracing of the LGBTQ agenda. You see people that claim to know and love Christ embracing that which God considers an abomination. You think of, where is it? I think in Leviticus 18, where homosexuality is sandwiched in between child sacrifice and bestiality, and it's an abomination to God. And you could just go, I mean, there's so many passages. I think of the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the passages in Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6:9 and I think it's in 2 Peter where Lot was so oppressed by the sensual conduct of the unprincipled men in Sodom that because of what he saw, what he heard when he was living among them, that he felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. And so you see what the Scriptures teach about these things, and yet you have Christians embracing these things. And once again, that just screams that there's something terribly wrong with a faith that would claim to love Christ and want to honor him and yet embrace things that he considers an abomination. So that would be another area that would clearly indicate to me that there's something nefarious going on in Christendom, as you say.
Amen. And we have to go to our first commercial break. And if anybody would like to join us, once again, the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. As always, Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pat. Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide us with financial support automatically every single month, on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. So with Christmas right around the corner, why not do your Christmas shopping at RoyalDiadem.com, and you'll be helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain in existence simultaneously, whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created. Either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my guest, Dr. David A. Harrell, who is the pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee. And we are discussing his book, America Hates Biblical Christianity. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And in other words, if you're perhaps you're in a church that is disagreeing with you over some of the issues that we are discussing, or perhaps you're a pastor and your fellow elders are in conflict with you over something we're addressing, or maybe your denomination is, well, whatever the case may be, if it's compelling you to remain anonymous, we are welcome to send in your question anonymously. But if it's a general question, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. One of the things that came up to me in my mind when you mentioned the woke movement, it has broken my heart to know that men that were very like-minded brothers in Christ, some of them pastors and theologians that I have had on this program in years past, enthusiastically promoting their books and their churches, a number of them have adopted this woke mentality. And a black brother in Christ who is very opposed to the woke movement and the social justice warrior movement said something very profound to me the other day. He said that to put your identity of skin color above your identity as a Christian is idolatry. And that's one of the reasons that this woke movement is anti-Christian, even if professing Christians are championing it. Am I right on that? And you have anything else to address in that area?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And what he said is right. It's I'm thinking that he's probably referring to, at some level, this critical race theory that's kind of a part of the woke movement. That view that that the law and legal institutions are inherently racist, and that race itself, instead of being biologically grounded and natural, is a socially constructed concept that is used by white people to further their economic and political interests, and to do that at the expense of people of color. And of course, all of these things fit into this neo-Marxist, we've got to the movement that says that we have to define who the oppressors are, and we who are the oppressed, we have to fight against them, and so they have this whole social justice redeemer complex that's inherent in all of the woke movement, and certainly in the democratic socialist movement that you see today. And the proponents of all of those things are essentially people saying that there can be some kind of an egalitarian utopia, and this requires all social, gender, and economic, political inequities as they define them to be eradicated. And practically speaking, this means that the government's got to be in charge of defining what's fair and unfair, and the government's got to determine what is morally and socially acceptable. And so the government must distribute all the wealth and the opportunities, all of these types of things. And of course, they use the race card as one area of, hey, these people are the oppressed. And they also use the transgenders. I mean, let's find in their mind, the most marginalized people, even if they make up a minuscule part of the overall population, let's focus on them and show you how bad, especially Christians, are in opposing them. And so then you have the whole social justice movement, and at a most fundamental level, there's a far greater problem than social injustice, which I would argue is grossly exaggerated and even demonstrably false. And I go into this in great detail in the book, but the greatest problem is the need for sinful people to be reconciled to a holy God. And by nature, you know, man sees himself as deprived, not depraved. And so all of that fits into man's sinful proclivities. And Satan knows how to use all this. And so this is what's at the heart of so much of this democratic socialist agenda, this whole woke agenda. And at a most fundamental level, Marxism cannot coexist with Christianity.
Right.
Because we serve the King of Kings. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we don't worship the government. We don't worship politicians. We worship Christ. And we derive our spiritual authority from him, from the Word of God. And I mean, even the Constitution at some level was written for Christians. And that's why it's not working anymore, because there's so few Christians in our country.
Amen.
So,
yeah, Marxism and socialism and communism, which are socialism and communism, are really identical, with the exception of how the ideological goal of either one of them is accomplished. Socialism accomplished by votes, communism accomplished by terror, destruction, and war. But I have said that Marxism, when hoped for, or even to put it more mildly and more palatable for liberals, socialism hoped for is covetousness, and socialism realized is theft, because you are requiring people to have money taken from them against their will for whatever cause a certain government deems to be appropriate. And where if any of us were to do something like that, we were to basically play Robin Hood, steal from the so-called rich and give to the poor, we would be viewed as committing a crime if we were literally tapping into the bank accounts of individual or somehow else stealing their money. Just because we are giving it to what we consider a noble cause, it would still be regarded as theft.
You're absolutely right. And those deceptive ideologies are really at the basis of like the Black Lives Matter movement and Black liberation theology, critical race theory, certainly democratic socialism, and they all have to ignore the most basic truth that people need to hear today. And it's not how to be delivered from the social injustice of man, but how to be delivered from the righteous justice of God. And so all of this is at odds with the gospel, not to mention it's never worked anywhere. And somehow the word today is, well, yeah, but we can make it work this time. And I have to laugh at just how blind people can be. But certainly when people have a difficult time affording their rent, and I want to be sympathetic to that, it makes them easy prey for somebody to come along and say, hey, you know what, if you vote for me, we're going to give you all this stuff, and therefore ignore all of the other baggage that comes along with these theologians, or these politicians that at some level are their own theologian, like the whole Mondami thing, the guy in New York, the new mayor there. So people ignore what he's really all about.
Yeah, that,
you're right. Your assessment.
Yeah, that's very disturbing. That New York City voted that man into office. I am a native New Yorker, although I never lived in the five boroughs of New York City. I was from Long Island. New Yorkers can be very masochistic and suicidal voters. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You wonder, could people who knowingly and enthusiastically voted a communist into political office as their mayor, do they know anything about history? Even the liberal Bill Maher has spoken boldly against this and said this has been a failed ideology everywhere in the world whenever it has been attempted.
Exactly. Yeah, and yet you see people still embracing it because somehow in their mind they think they're going to benefit from it. And some people will at some level until the money runs out, but others are going to be hurting. And I'm not sure if this is an accurate number, but I heard the other day that about $500 billion worth of tax revenue has already left New York. And you're just going to see people fleeing from that kind of craziness.
Well, we do have a listener named Kevin in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And Kevin says, in regard to those with liberal or leftist economic policies, whether they are just run-of-the-mill voters or politicians, how do you respond to their use of Acts chapter 2, verse 45? They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Yeah, I heard the famous leftist documentarian Michael Moore use that on a number of occasions, and I'm sure many others do.
Yeah, that's comparing apples with oranges. I mean, the whole context of that situation in the early church, you've got people that had come to faith in Christ. They had come to Jerusalem. They had been abandoned by their own people. Many of the Jews could no longer even socialize with their own kind. They'd been desynagogued, and so you've got a desperate situation there. And so there needs to be a social net, and there was one. God provided that, but to try to somehow force that into the ideology of socialism, which is essentially government theft, the redistribution of wealth, is a bridge way too far. So I would never be able to use that as a text to support that.
Yeah, and this was voluntary generosity. This was not
right.
This was not compelled upon them by a government, or the text isn't indicating that even the elders of those churches were forcing their congregants to do this.
Exactly. You know, Jesus and the disciples did not march down the streets with social justice banners, you know, and they didn't try to rally the government to somehow redistribute wealth and so forth. That's always a distraction. It's from the true gospel. You know, when Paul came into Corinth, he said, "I determined to preach nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified," and so all of these things move people away from the priority of a clear gospel presentation. And that's not to say that we aren't concerned for people that are in need. Obviously, we need to help them, and you see that. You know, that's just part of the second commandment. We're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But that's very, very different than the ideology of socialism and communism.
Okay, let's see. We have Stephanie in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. I don't know how close that is to you, Pastor Darrell. But Stephanie says, when we deal with this issue, do you think our first priority, if we are genuine believers, is to approach the church at large and individual Christians about their sins in this area, rather than necessarily going full bore against the left exclusively?
I'm not real sure what the question is, but certainly the priority has to be, I just keep coming back to this, it has to be the gospel. That's the Great Commission. We're not commissioned to somehow change society. We have to honor those that God puts in authority over us, and we have the right and the privilege to vote and to voice our opinion. But in terms of becoming a some kind of an activist, a Christian activist that fights against these things, I think you got to be very careful, because what I've seen happen is the priority then becomes much more political than redemptive, than gospel oriented. And I think that's what she's referring to there.
Yeah, and of course, we would welcome another email from Stephanie in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. But it could be that she is saying that it would have a more fruitful and successful effect if we changed the attitudes, minds, and behaviors, by God's grace, of course, of believers first, anyway.
Oh yes, and that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's judgment's got to begin first in the church. We've got to get people to understand what true biblical Christianity is, and to begin to live it out, and not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And unless the Spirit of God changes the hearts of the people, all you're doing is rearranging the deck furniture on the Titanic. And so we have to stay focused on the gospel and preach the truth to our people and their churches. And then, you know, sure, we hope that they will vote right. And sometimes our voting is cutting a rotten apple in half. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter at times which side you vote for. I mean, one side's probably going to be much closer to the biblical values and morality than the other side. But, you know, all of our leaders, for the most part, are fundamentally opposed to true biblical Christianity. But that doesn't mean that you don't continue to evangelize and to disciple and to teach people whatsoever the Lord has commanded. I mean, that's our Great Commission.
Amen. Amen. And let's see. We have Willie in Locust Valley, Long Island, New York. And Willie says, in your opinion, from what you have observed and heard, are the men behind the pulpits of evangelical churches far too silent about the areas of criticisms you offer?
Yes, I think they are. I think they fear man more than God. There's always that temptation, because as soon as you stand against the world, you're going to be hated for it. And, you know, Scripture is very clear that all those who try to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted. And so the temptation is always to try to avoid these things. And let's just try to be quiet and silent, and let's don't get political, as people will say. But so much of what's going on is not just political. It's satanic. These are satanic ideologies. These are doctrines of demons. These are things that Satan in his world system continues to bring into not just our culture, but into the church. And the church in many ways is the salt that's lost its savor. The church has such a weak voice anymore because they refuse to take a stand on these things. The last book that I wrote is called Warrior Preachers. And I get into this very topic in great detail because I do agree that too many men are cowards behind the pulpit, and I think they fear that they will lose people and that they might be criticized or persecuted. And if that's what's driving you, you do not need to be a spokesman for the King of Kings.
Amen. And who published that book? Because I'd love to have you back on to discuss that one.
Yeah, I've got my own publishing company now, Shepherd's Fire Media, and it's on our website. The other website that I'd like for you to mention is the shepherdsfire.org. And the books are on there. You can get them on Amazon and other Christian booksellers as well.
Shepherdsfire.org.
Yes. That Shepherd's Fire, Inc. is my nonprofit organization. We exist primarily to fortify pastors and church leaders, and we do that through especially my books and my expository preaching, but also through podcasts and social media and a variety of things. There you have it. I see it on your computer screen. So they can go on Shepherd's Fire, for example, or you could go on Amazon and look up Warrior Preachers and you could get the book. But the point is, I go into that very issue in great detail in that book, calling men to be warrior preachers, like the great field preachers of Scotland.
Well, I already know, and I guess if I'm asking you this live, I'm putting you on the spot, but I already know that I would love to have you at some point in 2026 to be my keynote speaker at one of my biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons.
Yeah, I'd be honored to do that.
Great. Well, we got to continue the dialogue about that. I don't know if you have heard me mention this before, but my next one, which is March 5th, features Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. And that is always free of charge. And not only do people attend free and eat free, but they get a heavy sack of free brand new books. And it's a men's gathering, men in ministry leadership. So,
yes, I know Conrad well. He wrote the foreword to the other book. What is it? Seven Key Principles for Effective Ministry. And all right, he endorsed that, and he wrote the foreword to Warrior Preachers.
Wow, I didn't even know that when I asked you to come on the to be a keynote speaker. Well, that's something that's pretty remarkable.
Dear brother,
yes,
dear brother, I have enormous respect for him.
Yes, he's been a dear brother since 1996, and my church on Long Island, where I was formerly a member before moving, was the very church, the very first American church where he preached in 1996.
Okay.
Well, we've got to go to our midway break right now, folks. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, Please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Before I return to my guest today, Dr. David A. Harrell, and our conversation on his book, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity, before I return to that fascinating conversation, I want to remind you folks, please, if you really love this show, we need your financial support. We, as you likely have heard me say, if you listen regularly, we have lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which closed its doors permanently about a month ago. And there is even a third that is on the brink of cancelization. And we are under some financial stress here, folks. So we're just asking you to please, if you can afford to do so, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card, as even my guest today, Dr. David A. Harrell, has done in the recent past. And thank God, I just also received the good news from a listener, a Jewish believer named Michael in New Jersey, who has sent a donation to us. We thank you so much, Michael. But please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And also, for those of you who prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote. Whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line if indeed you are interested in advertising. And with all this talk I've been doing, urging you to donate and telling us of our urgent need, I do want to remind you, please, never, ever give your own church less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please never do that. When I started this program, one of the primary pillars of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, when I first launched in 2005, was to be a platform, a helping hand, and a right arm and a support to the faithful local pastor and the faithful local church. I never want to be guilty of doing anything that brings any harm, including financially, to the faithful local pastor and church. So please don't give your own church any less money than you normally do to bless us. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, I don't want to be guilty of taking food off of anybody's dinner table either. So wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you provide us with a gift. And having said that, If you love the show and don't want it to go off the air, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you want us to remain in existence. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, and sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you too. So if you are without a biblically faithful church home, please shoot me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to David A. Harrell on our theme today, which is also the title of one of his books. We are addressing Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And let's see. We have Dorinda in Massapequa Park, Long Island, New York. And Dorinda asks, can you trace in history when it became quite evident, in your opinion, that America began hating biblical Christianity?
Yes, I think at some level it began right after, during the days of our founding fathers, where you have deists that aren't really true Christians. And little by little, you begin to see the encroachment of false doctrine. You know, the doctrines of demons begin to enter into the churches of that day. I mean, you look at institutions like Harvard and Princeton, places that used to be good, solid, reformed institutions that would train pastors, and look at where they are today. I mean, they're absolutely hostile to the things that they once stood for. And so I wouldn't say it was any one big thing, but Satan is a genius at producing different forms of false doctrine, and he's very patient. And little by little, he begins to erode away all of the great truths that are crucial for Orthodox Christianity, and the gospel begins to get distorted. And little by little, you see more and more error coming into the church. And I mean, if you stop and think about it, we're told that in 2 Corinthians 4 that the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. And Paul goes on to say that in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And what greater way of blinding unbelievers than to present to them a false gospel, an errant gospel that cannot save, but gives people the assurance that somehow, because they've walked an aisle or repeated a prayer or they've joined a church or whatever, that somehow they are truly on their way to heaven. And what happens, and you've just seen this historically down through the ages in the United States, churches begin to fill up with non-believers. And to the natural man, the things of the Spirit are foolishness. And Paul says, and he cannot understand them. Not that he will not, he can't, because he's spiritually appraised. And so you end up with churches, especially in the day and age of evangelical pragmatism, where you've got to do everything you possibly can to attract seekers, which means let's soften our approach on the gospel. Let's remove its offense. And so people come into the church believing that Jesus died to save them from their unhappiness, and they're truly not born again, and they cannot understand the scriptures, and so they begin to be seduced by every wind of doctrine, and they accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And as Paul says, they will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto myths, which is a fascinating statement, just technically, when he says they will turn away their ears from the truth. That's in the active voice in the Greek, which means that they will deliberately hear the truth, they won't like it, and they will consciously reject it. And when that happens, the next phrase says they will turn aside unto myths. And that's in the passive voice, which indicates that the myths will take them over. It's like a form of judicial hardening, similar to what you see in Romans 1, when people are given over ultimately to a reprobate mind. And so the progression of all of this occurred right from the very beginning of the founding of our nation, and it continues to this day. And the metastasizing corruption of sin continues to eat away at every fiber of American culture, of American society, and especially in the church. Because what Satan wants to do is to eviscerate the great truth of the gospel. And in order to do that, he has to join churches. He has to get in seminaries. He has to get in pulpits and preach a different gospel, so that it will be filled up with people that really don't know Christ, but they think they do. They're Christian in name only. And as a result, you see what has happened in our nation.
I have brought this up on different occasions on my program, but I have become increasingly disturbed by the conservative version of ecumenism that has taken place, whereas you have on the one side, the left has been the champions of ecumenism between professing Christians and those that reject Christ and the gospel, and they unite and cooperate even spiritually under the banner of helping others and meeting the needs of the less fortunate and so on. But during times when the left has come to dominate the media and has become more successful in accomplishing the deeds of Satan in this world, there is a desire for conservatives to see greater numbers among us who agree with us and side with us. And you have, even if they have correct theology on paper, you have churches and pastors and leaders in historically faithful congregations and denominations really welcoming into their alignment people who deny the gospel just because they have conservative morality. I've always been so surprised to hear over and over again from people I know who are Christians, who are even theologically reformed and, you know, have their own solid understanding of the Bible, and yet they're convinced that people like Glenn Beck, who is a Mormon, is a Christian. You have any comment on that?
Yeah, it's absolutely frightening. And this is this type of compromise is certainly a sign of a person operating in the flesh, not the spirit. Moreover, it even can call into question the genuineness of their faith. I mean, we're warned, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For, you know, what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, and what does fellowship have with light, with darkness, and so forth, and in 2 Corinthians 6. I mean, we're warned not to do these things. And yet, And we're told, even in that passage and others, that we're to come out from their midst, we're to be separate from them, and so forth. And when you see people ignoring this, you have to ask the question, why? Why would you embrace that which is clearly errant? People that clearly preach another gospel and therefore are damned because of it, as Paul says in Galatians. Why would you do that? I mean, I even think in Revelation 2, it speaks of the church at Ephesus, and they had all their doctrinal ducks in a row, so to speak. They looked like a pretty good church, but they had one fundamental flaw. They left their first love for Christ. And you just see so many churches that have done this thing, and it's just part of God's judgment upon that church. And I believe that pastors that do that may not realize it, but they have Ichabod written across the doorway of their church, which means the glory has departed. And ultimately, they are moving, if they haven't already become towards a Laodicean church that's ultimately apostate. That's where all of this leads, because sin always metastasizing. It's never content, like cancer. It's never content to stay in one place. It's got to have everything.
Yes, we have Tom in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. Very biblical sounding name for that that city. And Tom says, I do not reject everything about the ideology known as American exceptionalism, but I do believe it does have some dangers. I think that there has been an acceptance and even embracing of nominal Christianity or a false sense of security with God by sheer virtue of the fact that America is in many ways superior to other countries in the way we govern our people. Do you see this also as a danger?
Yes, I do. And I think he's got real good discernment there. Has God blessed America over the years? Boy, he really has. We've seen that. America is basically a product of the Reformation originally. But what we've also seen is a steady rejection of all that is true and sacred. And all you have to do is go to Romans 1. And I'm sure I've done that in this book. I forget everything that I've written in it. But you go to Romans 1 and you see the progression of what happens when men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God's wrath is poured out upon them. And the truth, for example, that God is our creator. And our country has turned against that and what it teaches its children. And it's embraced the whole sexual revolution. And that's why you see in Romans 1 that there is a progression. When you do that, God gives people over to just shameless immorality. And then the second stage is just the perversions of homosexuality. And then finally, you have the stage where he gives people over to a depraved or a worthless mind and to believe things that are absolutely absurd. And we are now at a place in our country where people believe things that are exactly that. This whole transgender thing is beyond insane. It's depravity in full view. This is satanic. And this is all evidence of the wrath of divine abandonment, where God has given a people over to the consequences of their iniquities, that their sins might literally destroy them. It's like the restraints are off. And so that's why I would differ with American exceptionalism. Yes, we're exceptional in a lot of ways compared to other countries, but I believe that America is under the wrath and the judgment of God.
Yeah, we're already under the wrath. People say,
right.
People often say, we should be afraid of God's wrath because of the murder of the unborn, the marrying of people of the same gender. But that is a sign we already are under his
wrath. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Amethyst in Jupiter, Florida, says, do you think that Luke 12, verse 48, where we read in the scriptures, for whom, to whom much is given, of him much shall be required, should be applied to the United States of America in addition to people individually?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I would want to apply that to the United States of America, because America has never been, I mean, the context is so different in that passage than what we're talking about here, in Luke 12. But America has never been a Christian nation. Yes, it's been blessed because there's Christian people in it. And yes, we as a people have a responsibility to care for other people. Even the most rank pagans will do some of that. But I think that's applying, the passage in question is applying primarily to those of us that God has blessed, and not so much, generalizing it to America itself. Because, again, I don't see America as a Christian nation. In fact, it's becoming increasingly Muslim if you look at the statistics.
Now, would you say that there was ever a point, where we could appropriately call America a Christian nation? I don't mean by saying that all of its inhabitants, or even most, were actually regenerate. But is there ever a point in history where you think that would be an accurate description, especially since there seems to be, at least on the surface, the honor of God and Christ in the writings and speeches of many key citizens of America, even someone like Benjamin Franklin, who was a deist, you would swear he was a Bible-believing Christian sometimes when you read him. So in that sense, could you ever categorize America at any stage in our development as a Christian nation?
Yeah, I think it would be fair to do that in the early stages. I mean, the original colonies had to have, I think all of them, but maybe Maryland, had to have in their founding papers, kind of like their own constitution, they had an allegiance to Christ and the gospel and a lot of those things. And originally you saw the power of the gospel and godly people being manifested in the lives of many of the leaders of our nation. And so originally, I suppose you could say that yes, this was a Christian nation because it was founded on those principles. But all you have to do is look at history and see that didn't last very long. And now look where we're at.
Yeah, you mentioned Maryland. That was a Roman Catholic colony,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think all the rest of them were more Presbyterian, Protestant. But I think it was Maryland that was Roman Catholic.
Yes. And that reminds me of another thing that I was going to say. I think that the listener who asked about American exceptionalism kind of jolted this memory in me. But don't you think there's a danger of romanticizing America, as especially when you discuss the past of America, people wrongly think that universally humans were much more moral and decent and so on. But it's pretty shocking if you, I've been watching the documentary on the American Revolution. I think the producer, I think is Tim Burns. I'm not sure if I have the first name right. He's a well-known documentarian. And it's shocking when you hear, about the satanic behavior of people centuries ago. And like for instance, during the American Revolution, British soldiers were very notorious for raping women of the Patriot families and things like that going on. The forcible rape of young girls and so on. So what I mean is, can it have a negative consequence if we have this romanticized understanding of humanity just because it may have been in a bygone era?
Yeah, I think you've got to be very careful with that, because look, the reality is there were sinful people then, there are sinful people now. And while the restraint may have been more pronounced during the early days because you had more genuine believers and positions of authority, you still have wickedness. I mean, Satan is the god of this world, small g. You know, he's the ruler of this world, as Jesus said, at least temporarily. And he is the one that's going to continue to corrupt every society. And the idea of American exceptionalism is only true up to a point, in that I would argue that we're more exceptional than any other nation because of the things that God has done with us and through us, which, again, I believe is because of the Constitution and the way the founding fathers really built the country on the foundation of a Judeo-Christian ethic. But that is long since gone. I mean, that's what you see with liberals in particular that want to do away with the Constitution. They hate this country, and so we've got to be very careful. Just because we may be the most powerful and economically and militarily greatest nation on earth, so to speak, that doesn't mean that we're great in the eyes of God, and it doesn't mean that we're exceptional with respect to the things that he wants to do for us. What he wants us to do would be to come to saving faith in him. And what we're seeing is a wholesale rejection of that.
I want to make sure before I take any additional listener questions, I want to make sure before the final break that you highlight some things that I have not addressed that you think are of most importance in what you are trying to convey to the reader.
The thing that I want to convey primarily is that there are two opposing kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. And you simply must understand the interplay between those two things. And therefore, the way Satan works, especially in culture, in politics, in every system, because that's where he works primarily, in orderly systems. And you've got to be able to see that. You've got to know your enemy. And then you also have to understand how God in his sovereignty has ordained to allow these things to ultimately put his glory on display, even in his judgment, but certainly in his saving grace and the power of the gospel and how he's building the church. And so my goal is not to be all gloom and doom that, look how terrible things are, but rather to say, yes, things are bad, but look at the transforming, saving power of the gospel. And we as believers need to champion that with all of our heart and be about the business of the Great Commission. So that is the real core of what I'm trying to say and why America hates biblical Christianity. And I go into great detail with all of those things in the book.
Another thing I want to bring up before we run out of time or I forget to is I want you to promote and describe your podcast. You have your own podcast.
Yeah, we have a few different podcasts with some of my dear brothers, and they're mainly to fortify pastors and church leaders, but we have other people that aren't in that category, so to speak, other believers that listen, and this is beginning to grow. And of course, we just leave that up to the Lord, but we're passionate about discussing these things and somehow ministering to especially pastors and church leaders. That's been a real burden of mine. I've been in ministry for 40 years, and I've mentored and discipled and counseled so many different pastors and church leaders over the years. I have a real burden for them. My heart breaks for them, and so many of them are under great persecution, even in their own church. Especially young men that come out are well-trained expositors, and they go into some of these churches that are family-owned and operated and have all kinds of bad doctrine, and they last about a year or two, and they're out on the street. And so it's just a very difficult time to be a pastor in many places. And so our podcasts really address a lot of those kinds of issues.
Tell us about Shepherd's Theological Seminary, and to my memory, this is the first I'm learning of it. I always like to hear about biblically faithful seminaries because they are few and far between these days.
Yeah, Shepherd's Theological Seminary is in Cary, North Carolina. It's a suburb of Raleigh, and good solid seminary there. And we at our church, Calvary Bible Church, we are partnering with them in the training of men for ministry. We have a live streaming training center in our church. And by the way, Shepherd's Fire helps facilitate a lot of this and helps pay for a lot of it. But we offer a fully accredited master's in theology and a master's in divinity, where students can actually be a part of the classroom in our church, even though the professor is in Cary, North Carolina. And so we're seeing this grow. Some men are taking the courses for credit. Others are just auditing the courses. There's also a diploma program, et cetera. But these are difficult days for a man who wants to grow in his understanding of Scripture. It's hard for them to pack up a family and move across the country. And so we're bringing it to them. And Shepherd's has a great program. It's actually called a cluster program where men can get together in the class. Most of them meet on a Monday night. And others meet during the week on their own, depending upon the classes that they're studying. But you can go on our website on shepherdsfire.org and read more about that.
Yeah, you could go to shepherdsfire.org, and that's /seminary to specifically learn about the seminary. shepherdsfire.org/seminary. And the podcasts could be found at the same website, shepherdsfire.org/podcast, and shepherdsfire.org in general has a whole bunch of items that you can explore that are affiliated with my guest today, Dr. David A. Harrell. And we are going to our final commercial break. If you do have a question, I'm urging you to submit it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is somebody that I have grown extremely fond of, want him to return to this program as many times as he will make himself available in the future, David A. Harrell. He is pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee, and he is an author. We have been addressing the theme of one of his books, Why America Hates Christianity. And, you know, if you could, I'd want you to, before we go to one or two more listener questions, I want you to perhaps go deeper into your subtitle, which is Pursuing Christlikeness in Times of Mounting Hostility and Apathy. I know, being a sinner, that I am so often just filled with rage. I have to battle the feelings of hatred that rise up in me. And I think that that could be said of a lot of people, even if they are truly regenerate, born-again believers. How do we pursue Christlikeness in these times of mounting hostility? And how do we prevent apathy as well?
Yeah, I go into this towards the end of the book, as I recall, in a section where I think it's chapter 8, talks about the Christian's aspiration. And I want everyone who would identify with what you just said to remember what we're told in Romans 8:18 and following, that we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And it goes on to say that we're waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And so I go into some examples of those that were persecuted, especially in the days of the field preachers in Scotland. I give the story of Richard Cameron and so forth. But what we want to remember in times of persecution is that, first of all, that God has chosen us according to his uninfluenced sovereign will. He has chosen us to not only for salvation, but to serve him even in these times. And I find that to be of great comfort, knowing that he is ultimately in charge of all of this. And also, you want to remember that God is the source of our hope. He is the one that we have to turn to in these times. And that especially includes things like just contemplating the infinite perfections of his character, of the person and the work of Christ. And then to also remember that God is the protector of our hope, and we're told in Scripture that we have an inheritance, and that inheritance is one that's guarded by Him completely. And these things bring great comfort to us in the middle of the enormous frustration. And I even talk about how that He is the refiner of our hope. And I go into different passages that speak to that whole issue that even as Peter said in 1 Peter 1, that we greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, we're experiencing various trials, we're distressed by them. And the reason for that is so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ and so forth. And so he talks about how that we can greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Why? Because we have the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And so these are the types of great truths from Scripture that I find to be so beneficial, that really strengthen our faith and encourage our hearts during times of not just frustration, but persecution that I believe is going to continue to mount. And so I would just point the reader or the listener to read that section towards the end of the book.
And we have time, I think, at least for one more listener question. We have Ford in Farragut, Tennessee. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Ford says, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe also in the responsibility of men. How do these two things come to play when it comes to revival? Because it is abundantly crystal clear that that's what this nation needs in order to overcome the ills and evils which you are describing in this program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't we all pray for that? We pray for that. And historically, what we've seen is that revivals were never orchestrated by man and called down by man, but they're brought down by God in His own way at His own time. And certainly, there's a famine in our land right now. And we're crying out for revival. We know that God's responsible for that. He's the one that has to bring that. And again, historically, it was a result of God doing something for reasons that that only he knows, at a time that only he knows. But he did that through good, solid, frankly, reformed expositors. And so what we have to continue to do is pray that God will pour out his grace and his mercy on this wicked country. And we just keep presenting the gospel, but it's not something that we can put on a calendar between August 10th and you know, the 14th and have a revival service in our church. I'm not saying that that's always bad, but so often that points people to more of an Arminian type of soteriology that I fear can often deceive people. So to answer the question is, yes, God is sovereign, and yes, we are responsible, but ultimately this has to be a work of God, and we pray for that, and we just keep preaching the gospel and wait for him to move in his own time, in his own way.
Well, in the time we have left, I'd like you to, for about 3 minutes, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this subject.
Yeah, what I would hope you would come away with is that, on the one hand, Satan is far more ingenious than we can imagine, and he's far more diabolical and nefarious than we can imagine, and that he works primarily in orderly systems, in our educational system, our political systems, even in our churches and so forth. And his primary strategy is to introduce deceptive ideologies, false doctrine, what Paul calls doctrines of demons. And he certainly wants to do everything he can to thwart the purposes of God through the systems in which he works. And one of the ways that he's working most effectively, as I see it in America, is not just in the halls of Congress, but in the halls of our seminaries and in the halls of our churches and in the pulpits of our churches. And what he's doing there is promoting a false feel-good gospel and an idolatrous type of Jesus that's kind of a smiley-faced Jesus that winks at sin and is tolerant of everything. And we've got to be able to see these counterfeits and call them out for what they are, and to be faithful in presenting the true gospel with all of its offense, because that's what God will use to save sinners. And so this book really calls us to do exactly that, to see the counterfeits and to attack these counterfeits in a way that is consistent with what God has asked us to do in his word, and to stay faithful, rejoicing in the hope that is ours in Christ.
Amen, amen. And it has been such a joy to have you on the program today. And by the way, we have a listener named Cal in Utica, New York, who corrected me on the documentarian I mentioned. His name is Ken Burns. I'm sorry about that. I said Tim.
Ken Burns. Okay, yeah, I've heard of him, right.
But I want to repeat the websites that you must become acquainted with, shepherdsfire.org, shepherdsfire.org. You could find out all about the ministries involving my guest today, David A. Harrell, whether they are his written blessings to the church or audio or whatever he has to offer, and, of course, the Shepherd's Seminary. And then we also have Calvary Bible Church of Joelton, Tennessee, cbctn.org, cbctn.org. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Harrell, for being such an exquisite, superb guest. And as I said, I really want to have frequent return visits from you on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Well, I'd be honored to do that. And I thank you for your faithfulness to the master in your ministry. And I pray that it will continue to to grow and be used mightily for the sake of the kingdom.
Thank you. And I want everybody listening to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.